Welcome to Utah Public Radio's Eating the Past and Other Tasty Morsels, a show that explores all things food.
Your hosts are Jeannie Sir, Jamie Sanders, and Tammy Proctor, all from the History Department at Utah State University.
Today, we are pleased to welcome Alexis Sand, Professor of Art History and Associate Vice President for Research at Utah State University. Alexa will be cooking and presenting in our fall video series on October 28th. Alexa, could you tell us a bit about yourself and why you're interested in food?
Thanks, Tammy. As an art historian, I study later medieval art from Europe. In particular, I work on manuscript illumination, paintings in handwritten books from the French-speaking parts of Northern Europe in the 13th through the 15th centuries. I am interested in the way that words and pictures in books allowed people to see themselves. For them, illuminated books were a little bit like our cell phones and tablets are today. A lot of books that I happen to be working on right now concern the relationship between living the good life and achieving eternal salvation. And I think from a 21st century perspective, we can understand this impulse to think about a connection between morality, living the good life, and what we eat. So books about healthy living are a part of the larger literature and culture of moral instruction that interests me as a scholar.
Cooking for health, medieval style, is a really fun theme, and it conjures up all kinds of images of large turkey legs and mead. Can you explain briefly what the basics of medieval healthy cooking might look like?
Mmm, delicious mead. Brewed beverages were a really important part of medieval healthy eating. One reason for this is that the water was often unsafe to drink. Although they didn't really understand the role of waterborne microbes in the spread of disease, medieval people could see that when you drank untreated water, you tended to be more prone to illness. In the Regimen Sanitatis, the medieval healthy eating book that I will be using, the author pretty much starts out with the advice on what to drink and strongly states that drinking water is fine for animals, but not for people.
Alexa, can you tell us if there's anything that was a part of the medieval diet that varies widely from present-day American cuisine? For example, is there anything lacking in our diet that they consume regularly?
Well, of course, we're talking about the period before 1492, so there are a lot of foods that weren't part of the medieval European diet that are ubiquitous now in global cuisines. For example, potatoes, corn, tomatoes. Most people could not afford to eat a lot of meat, and even those who could were counseled to be cautious about how much they consumed.
When I think of the medieval period, I can't help but think about the large influence of the Catholic Church. Are there ways that the church influenced cuisine or even eating habits?
Oh, yes. The Catholic Church was incredibly important in terms of diet. Not so much because it prohibited certain foods the way Judaism and Islam did for their followers, but more because it controlled so much of the agricultural land. Monasteries played a huge role in the production of food, from the growing of crops and livestock to the milling of flour and the baking of bread. Monks were the premier vintners and brewers of Europe as well, so mead again.
Alexa, could you give us a short preview of your dish for the show, a teaser?
Sure. So one thing to know about medieval books of cookery and nutrition is that they don't really have recipes in the modern sense. However, the book I'm using, which is really more a series of medical suggestions for a healthy diet, makes some recommendations for what you should eat seasonally. I took those and matched them to a modern recipe that uses only ingredients that would have been available to a late medieval cook. So cooking poultry in milk infused with spices and honey is a really medieval approach. Even though my recipe is actually from Jamie Oliver, it will taste very medieval, more medieval, in fact, than that roast turkey leg you would get at medieval times.
Sincere thanks to Alexa for sharing her expertise and enthusiasm with us today. Tune in on Zoom for the cooking demonstration and discussion on October 28th at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. The link is available from the USU History Department website.
And please join us next week when we talk with Christine Cooper-Rimpato about her recipe for medieval health.
Support for UPR's Eating the Past comes from Love to Cook, a kitchen store offering kitchen appliances, tools, cooking classes, private events, and knife sharpening. Information on Instagram at LoveToCookLogan. And USU Dining Services, always working to create an excellent college experience for students, faculty, and staff. Now 13 locations open around campus. More details at usu.edu/dining.